Blog Talk Radio.
Following the show, that once a month we have a very, very special guest, and I'm very, very honored, humbled that my guest has taken time out of his very busy schedule to come on Health, Wealth, and Divine and to share powerful, life-changing information with us. And first, let me say I hope everybody had a wonderful weekend. I did too. I know it's not Monday, but I haven't spoken to you since last week, so hence the term. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. I had a great weekend this past Saturday. I actually went up to the D.C. area in Maryland and attended a workshop. It was on holistic living and had a fabulous time. My special guests at the workshop were Dr. Ted Watkins, Brother Coy Dunstan, and Brother Frank Smith. They presented powerful, life-changing information, and it was great to be back up in the D.C. area. And so I want to thank everybody who turned out for that. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to come and spend it with us. We had a great time. To all of the new listeners, I want to say thank you and welcome to Health, Wealth, and Divine. Got a special show lined up for you. Again, my special guest today is Dr. Ted Watkins, the one and only Dr. Ted Watkins. And in case you've never heard of him, don't know who he is, I guarantee you by the end of this show, you won't forget Dr. Watkins. He's a graduate from the Howard University College of Medicine, and he graduated in 1977. He works in Washington, D.C., and specializes in general practice and family medicine. And I guarantee you, like I said, by the end of this show, you're going to know who Dr. Watkins is. And for those who do know who he is, welcome, and don't be shy. If you have a question or a comment, please just call on in. If you're listening on the phone, just press 1, and I'll bring you on board. Dr. Watkins, my brother, welcome back to Health, Wealth, and Divine. It's great to speak with you again, sir.
Thank you. I'm glad to be with you.
It's my pleasure. You know, we have a very powerful show lined up for our guest today. You touched upon it briefly at the workshop, and it's a very interesting topic that a lot of people don't talk about, and I think that it needs to be talked about, and I think you're the person to talk about it, and that is the vegetarian dilemma. You know, there are a lot of people out here that have decided to make the switch from meat eaters to vegetarians, with all of the research and all of the data out there that suggests that a healthier lifestyle can extend one's life, reverse and prevent disease. But there tends to be a dilemma going on because there's some statistics that are coming out that are showing that there's not that much of a disparity between the lifespan of vegetarians and meat eaters. Could you talk about that?
Yes. There were several studies that really, in the early 2000s, and several other studies looked at the life expectancy. You know, heart disease is the number one cause of death in this country. And they looked at the death rates from heart disease in vegetarians versus meat eaters.
Mm-hmm.
And to my amazement, the data was suggesting that they were the same.
Mm-hmm.
They were the same. And so when I first saw that, I sort of really, it floored me, because how could this be? You know, it must be a royal conspiracy that somebody is just trying to put down vegetarians, because I'd argue with anybody that vegetarians, especially vegan vegetarians, would live, longer and give you the best chance to live a long, happy, disease-free life.
Right.
But, you know, when I looked at this data, it sort of shook me up. But even then, I knew that there must be something wrong, and we got to get to the bottom of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there had to be some. I'd like to know who did the study again, because I'm with you. If I heard that, it would make me think, my first thought would be, well, you know, they're just trying to, that must be some, you know, some farming organization that produces meat, you know, and they want, of course, to get the public to believe that there's no difference in the health of that eat meat.
That was my first take on it. But,
mm-hmm.
but one of the studies where they looked at about 17,000 people was actually compounded by the vegetarian, one of the vegetarian associations,
wow.
Right? So it wasn't that somebody else was coming in and doctoring the data.
Mm-hmm.
These were actual statistics. Now, it was interesting because it was noted that vegetarians had lower obesity, they had lower rates of diabetes, they had lower rates of hypertension. You know, they did very, very well in many areas, but in the area of heart disease, which is the number one cause of death in this country, vegetarians did not fare well. And another area where vegetarians were also a problem was dementia. Dementia. Vegetarians were higher in dementia, and so that really just freaked me out, and so I said, you know, we got to try to find an answer to this, and God is good. There is an answer, because His way is always the best way, and sometimes, you know, statistics can hide some things, and so
mm-hmm.
we need to look at that as we go through the program.
Well, again, there had to be some very vital contributing factors to that will be outlined in today's show. But I was under the impression that, and you can correct me, that animal fat was one of the main contributors to heart disease. And, of course, vegans don't consume animal fat. So
well,
have to be some other contributing factors that would, kind of skew the information towards the data that was ultimately produced.
Well, see, you're really hitting at it. We have to go and we have to look at the what I call the physiology of heart disease. How does heart disease actually develop? Well, we need to start out with an injury, you know, to the coronary vessels, the vessels that supply blood to the heart. And when we all start out, we have nice, smooth vessels that are disease-free. But for whatever reason, if there's an injury to that vessel, then the body tends to try to heal that vessel. And one of the things that it uses to heal the vessel is cholesterol. That cholesterol is floating around, and it puts a little patch. Like, you know, when I was a young boy, we would have inner tubes in the tires, you know. And if there was a hole in the tire, We put a patch on it, you know,
and
glue that toughy in place and keep on getting up. Well, the body tries to do the same thing, and it patches it up, and it patches it up with cholesterol. But the interest, and so cholesterol is a major because it keeps getting injured, and you keep putting patches, and the patches just build up and get higher and higher.
Mm-hmm.
But in addition to the patch, there's also a process where the white blood cells come in, the WBCs, the white blood cells, and they come in to try to clean up the area and to give the area some healing. And in this process, there's inflammation. There's inflammation because white blood cells produce these histamines that produce the inflammation. And so the inflammation gets there, and this inflammation causes further injury. Now, see, the cholesterol buildup is what we call oxidized cholesterol, cholesterol that's been acted on by oxygen. It's one phase, and it's responsible for about 46% of heart attacks. In other words, about 46% of people who have a heart attack will have abnormal cholesterol levels.
Okay.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
But this inflammatory process that we just talked about, the inflammation, this is found in about 1% of patients who have problems with heart attacks. And so we see that the inflammatory process is twice as likely to occur in heart disease than the cholesterol component. And that's very significant because the number one drug in the world is what? The statins, the cholesterol lowering medication. And so that is a real, real problem, and we just got to do something about it.
Well, could you, for the sake of this discussion, because there are a lot of people that, you know, may not know the difference between good cholesterol and bad cholesterol, and you mentioned how the cholesterol is actually used as a patch to, you know, help to heal the body. But then there are people that obviously have cholesterol levels that are high, and then, you know, they've heard these terms like good cholesterol, bad cholesterol. You know, as it relates to this discussion, could you break down the difference between the two and why that's significant?
Well, what you're referring to is the what we call the HDL, the high density lipoprotein, which is called the good cholesterol, and the LDL, the low density lipoprotein, which is called the bad cholesterol. In reality, both cholesterols are good. The big issue is proportion. Both of them have purposes. The HDL, its purpose is to get the other cholesterols out of the bloodstream. Excuse me, out of the bloodstream and rid it harmless to the body, whereas that LDL is the one that causes problems and clot formation. But we find that LDL actually has a good function, so it's not just in there to do harm. LDL does good also, and so we need to be aware of the good that LDL does.
You know, Doctor, you mentioned histamines briefly a moment ago, and I'm sure everybody's heard the term antihistamines, and you mentioned histamines and inflammation. So when somebody is taking an antihistamine, you know, like, for example, somebody might, you know, be, you know, have, you know, clogged bronchial tubes or whatever. So the hist actually reduces the inflammation. Is that correct?
Yeah, the antihistamine.
I'm sorry.
The antihistamine decrease the inflammation. Inflammation, as I said, is a major contributor to heart disease, but not just heart disease. Diabetes, cancer, all the collagen vascular diseases, you know, lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, you know, thyroid diseases. So many diseases are associated with inflammation. And so we want to get the inflammation down. And the way you get the inflammation down is give the body the substances that will bring it down. And that's as simple as that.
So when we talk about then vegetarians versus meat eaters, and when they did this study, was it just vegetarians, or was vegans included in that description versus the meat eaters?
It was both. It was both the vegans and matter of fact, one of the things that they found was that when they start looking deeper and trying to see what the problem was, they found that the body has three sources of fat. One is the saturated fat, and that's the meat fat, the dairy fat, these various fishes and so forth. They contain this fat, and this fat is responsible for a significant percentage of the heart attacks that occur in this body in this country.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and then we have what we call the monounsaturated fats. These are things like your olive oil just a single bond and they are good to help reverse heart disease. And we know about that olive oil and other things like that. But what happens is that they don't exist in the same ratio because, for instance, canola oil is a very cheap oil. It tends to flood the market, and it tends to give people all kinds of the omega-6 fatty acids,
mm-hmm.
omega-6 fatty acids, versus something like the olive oil would give you the omega-3 fatty acid, and so they're both different, but they accomplish a great work, and we need both of them. That's the thing that we need to understand. We need both of them, but we want them in a better ratio. You know, the meat eaters have a ratio of about 12 to 1 in one study. Now, you want the ratio to be 4 to 1. That's 4 of the 6s to 1 of the 3s. And it used to be it was a 1 to 1 ratio in our foods. But
mm-hmm.
then we started eating all this meat and stuff, and the ratios went up. But the problem is that the vegetarian in this study, the ratio was 1 to 17, and the vegans was 1 to 27. And so you can see that these ratios are abnormal because he wanted at least down to 1 to 10, you know. And these things were bad. And what happened was the several studies were done where they were trying to see if there is a diet that would lower the risk of heart attacks. And they found that one of the best people to test on that are people who already had heart attacks. And so they got a population of folk who previously had a heart attack and was in the process of recovery. And so they asked him, and he gave a glowing response to what had happened to him. But we said we need to really film this, and so we did. But these people took the cholesterol-lowering drugs, and the risk decreased by 20%. 20%, man.
Mm-hmm,
tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
But then they saw another group. They took they took olive oil. You know, I mean, I'm sorry, fish oil. Fish oil, and man, they dropped by 30%. That's really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fish oil better than those drugs that we spend all that money on.
Right.
But then they found a third group, man, a third group, where the increased risk was 70%. 70.
Mm-hmm.
70%. 7 out of 10 people. 70 out of 100 people had a decreased risk of having a heart attack. And what they found was that these people simply did two things. One, they got rid of the sixes in their diet, the cornstarch and all these other safflower oil and sun oil and corn oil, all these oils that, you know, really were causing problems with these things happening.
Mm-hmm.
And they got that out the diet and got them to eat a tablespoon or two of flaxseed, ground flaxseed a day. And it got it down to 70%.
Hmm.
70%.
Now that is significant, and that is. I mean, it's numbing to when you see stats like that, because when you realize that the information is actually that God has already had the answer here, and that so much money, lives, you know, energy is spent going back and forth to doctors and, you know, just getting, you know, into, you know, dealing with allopathic medicine, trying to cure disease that via that route. But then nature has already provided the answer. And unfortunately, it's not like our ignorance is an excuse. We'll die because of the ignorance. It's not like, you know, and the body is so amazing that even with and in our ignorance, it continues to push along and try to work with us, you know, until it just breaks down and can't take it anymore.
I mean, people always want to rationalize why they can't eat certain things and why they can't eat certain things. And the reality is we're dying like flies. We're dying like flies. And until we wake up and recognize this and decide that we're going to do something about it, it's going to continue to happen.
Now, what would you say, Doc, to people who take the position that, well, because I actually was speaking to somebody the other day and they shared that, well, you know, of course, I'm a proponent of veganism and, you know, healthy eating. But his position was, this is a God, a person that believes in God. And he was saying, well, only God can extend life. You know, man can't, you know, you can't extend life. When it's your time. And, you know, even though you might be a vegetarian or a vegan, you know, you could still die early, you know.
That's right.
Your position?
No. What you're saying is absolutely correct.
But although that may be true, you don't have to shorten your life. You might not be able to extend it beyond a particular point if we are all given a certain amount of days. You know, I mean, if, you know, if our number's called, you got to go. But I don't believe you have to go sick. And I don't believe you have to go, you know, die of cancer. I mean, certain things are preventable. Yeah.
I'm sorry. What were you saying?
Certain things are preventable. You don't have to die sick. That, you know, although you might not be able to extend your life once God wants to call you home, you're going, but you don't have to die of cancer. You don't have to die of a heart attack. You don't have to die of,
exactly.
You know, lupus. So what do you say to people when they try to rationalize the fact that, well, you can't live forever and justify...
I'd die of something.
Yeah, exactly. What's your response to that?
I say that's that basically is a foolish response, because I don't want to die of nothing. I want to live every day that I can, and I not only want to live longer, I want to have a higher quality of life. I don't want to have be on a whole lot of medicines. I don't want to have a lot of pain and problems. I want to live a good, prosperous life, not just in terms of economics, although I don't have a problem with that either, but in terms of just being aware of where you are, what you're doing, and that you have some control. I was talking to a patient just today, and a very, very bright lady, first time I had her, but I was impressed with her from the jump street, She was complaining about where she was, and I said one of the first things you got to do is you got to change the way you talk. You got to change how you're programming your subconscious mind, And we got to start believing in ourselves and speaking it, and it'll come to fruition. So no, you don't have to die prematurely. You can choose to live, or you can choose to die. It's your choice.
You know what is so interesting, Doc? Because we make life and death choices every single day. Every time we pick up that fork, we're making a life or a death choice. You know, every time we go to the refrigerator, we're making a life and death choice. And the interesting thing about it is the older we get, then the more crucial those choices become. You know, whereas, you might have got away with certain things, through your childhood, teens, young adulthood, mid-years, and now, you're reaching a point where, you might start feeling aches and pains, and, those choices become life and death every time you open your mouth and put some food in it. That's a life and death choice. You agree?
I certainly do. And that's why I try to, when I eat my foods, I want them to taste good, but I also want them to be good for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I try to make choices that correspond to that. And that's why it's so exciting to me that if I take in that omega-3 and get my ratio down, that I can immediately decrease my risk of heart disease.
And many
other diseases. I just mentioned heart disease, but it doesn't stop at the heart. The body, we're fearfully and wonderfully made, and what's good for the goose is what good for the gander. And so, that thing is going, and it's touching people wherever they are.
I was going to ask you about that study. Was that broken down across different diseases, or was it just a generalization basically saying that the meat eaters and vegetarians, their lifespan, there's not much of a disparity in the length of time that they both live, or did they find that, for example, meat eaters die or vegans die of cancer at the same rate that, meat eaters do, or, meat eaters die of heart disease at the same rate as vegans? Was it broken down over diseases, or was it just pretty much a general life?
No,
and
it was
death,
broken
down
over specific diseases.
Okay.
Specific diseases. And what they found, though, when you add the flaxseed back, when you add the oatmeal, then you're getting a much better scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And you can afford to see how the body can defend itself from assault from these problems.
So would flaxseed oil then be, because there are a lot of people that feel like, okay, well, I'll just, hearing this show might be like, okay, well, then I'll just run to the store and grab some flaxseed oil pills and I'll be good to go.
Well, you're gonna certainly get your omega-3 fatty acids from the flaxseed oil. But there are a couple problems. One is that by making it an oil, they've separated out so many of the other components that would be a benefit. And so you want to understand that. Plus, the flax seed has fiber. It has the vitamins. It has the minerals. It has other nutrients that the body can use that it knows about, and then it's willing to share with us. You know, and then, of course, we have the beautiful we have the fact that the flax seed can be heated and maintain its integrity, whereas the oils will be immediately broken down.
So when somebody wants, they say, okay, well then, okay, I'm going to get some flax seed. How can they use that? I mean, so they get the flax seed.
They go and they get some flax seed. They put 1 or 2 tablespoons in a grinder, a coffee grinder, some other little grinder, and they grind it up. They put them in an ice box, and they take a tablespoon of it, 1 or 2 tablespoons a day, in their smoothies or on their salads or however they want to take it, in their oatmeal, whatever they're going to do, and it just it's tremendous for what it can do for you.
So, Doc, back to the study for a second. Now, again, any type of study like that where they're going to come out and make that type of announcement that, again, vegans and vegetarians don't live longer. Studies have shown that, you know, they don't live longer than than meat eaters. You know, studies like that, you know, have to be done in a all things being equal type of, you know, scenario.
Yeah, yeah,
you know, they're breathing
and
the same, getting the same amount of exercise, you know, drinking the same amount of water.
But see, the beautiful thing is that even when they weren't living longer, they were living better.
Mm-hmm.
But when they added the flaxseed, when they added the vitamin B12, which we haven't even talked about yet, then that inflammation decreased, the risk of heart attack decreased, and they start living longer and living better. So, you know, it was just, there's been so much misinformation out here, you know, and part of it is because we just aren't God. We don't know, and we're trying to guess, and we're trying to, you know, because I remember when saturated fats were bad and polys were the good thing, and then they went to monos, and now they're back to polys again. You know, it's like we don't know what we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the consumer becomes confused as to what they should do, all right? And so that's why it's so important for us to have programs like this where we can give information and try to break down some of the dilemmas. You know, because when I was all shook up, man. I've been a vegetarian. I brag, in fact, first one in my family to be a vegetarian, and my mother lived to be 92, in part because of her son. But you know, the reality is that unless we make the changes that we need to make, we're going to have problems.
Mm.
We're going to have problems. But once we make those changes, then we just soar.
You know, well, that's something. Let's talk about change for a minute, because for a lot of people, that's where the issue becomes. That's where the issue lies. It's like, okay, you can give somebody information. You can share the information with them. They could agree that the information is valid and true. But these things, like food, it's addictive, you know. And asking somebody to give up meat.
What's addictive is self-hate.
Okay, come on, Doc.
See, because when you love yourself, then you don't make excuses. You go on and do what's necessary and get yourself well. All right? But when you don't feel good about yourself, you know, and you let other people put you down, then you go and you you'll make an excuse about, you know, I can't change. Your change is hard. You know, I remember when I found that cheese, that 60 to 90% of the fat of the calories in cheese came from fat. I said, oh, Lord, not Melito's pizza, but I put it down.
Oh, that you do.
You know,
Lito's,
I mean, I used to love some Lito's. You
what?
Know,
what you talking
still,
about, man?
I probably still do love it, but I don't eat it. You know what I mean? Why?
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't love me.
Mm.
And why should I love something that doesn't love me? That don't make sense. That's insanity.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not insane. And so we have to look in the mirror, and we must get excited about what we see. And we got to believe in ourselves and the value that we have, and make the changes. Just don't be making excuses. I tell people all the time, I said, you know, if I told you that if you eat this way, that your child would live 20 years longer, I said, without batting an eye, you would go ahead and make the change. I said, but guess what? If you eat this way, your child is going to live 20 years longer, because your child is not going to do what you say. Your child is going to do what you do.
Hmm.
And so once we get in our heads that we have a reason to change, and that reason is that our lives are valuable. You know, we got this thing now, Black Lives. Yeah, Black Lives do are of value. You know, they do matter. But we have to give them the value. We can't ask somebody else to give them value if
mm-hmm.
we don't give them value. You know, I did a paper some years ago, man, winning the war against disease, and we were in the midst of the first Gulf War, and every day on radio, somebody was talking about some young American getting killed over there in the Gulf.
Mm-hmm.
And then it hit me, wait a minute now, how many people are actually killed in war? And I went back to the American Revolutionary War, and I counted up all the deaths from the American Revolutionary War to the first Gulf War, Bush won, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And we lost about 1 million people. In 1 year, man, 1 year, we lose 1 million people from heart disease, more than 1 million from heart disease and cancer alone.
Mm-hmm. Preventable.
And where's the outcry?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm. Everybody, I hope you're listening. I hope you are taking this information.
If you're really concerned about life, you act like it by making the changes that's necessary. You look in the mirror and you say that I am somebody,
mm-hmm.
and I deserve to live, and I'm not going to let anybody get rich so I can kill myself. That'll make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we go and we buy these foods and say, I just love them, you know?
Mm.
And we know that it's killing us. I just love it. How do you love something that's killing you?
Well, you know what, Doctor? I think that for a lot of people that they – now, this might sound crazy, but there are a lot of people who look at themselves in the mirror. They don't – they might not be walking with a walker. You know, they might not be walking with a cane. They may not, you know, have to go, you know, to get diabetic shots or, you know, whatever, you know. And, they appear to be healthy. You know, they might, you know, just, you know, might, you know, just have a little ache here, a little, you know, something there. But they might think, I mean, they can stoop down, they can stand up. I mean, they don't need help. You know, they're not on a respirator. I mean, you know.
See,
and
Jawad, I'm not going to insult anyone's intelligence. You know, I mean, we're not dumb. We see what happened to Mama and Grandma and Great-Grandpa, who follow the same lifestyle, and we can add 1 and 1 equals 2,
mm-hmm.
and 2 and 2 equals 4. We know that if we continue down that same path, the same thing is going to happen to us. That even though it hasn't happened yet, it's going to happen. I went to school and worked my way through school because I wanted, and my mother wanted me, and my grandmother wanted me to be more than what they were able to accomplish. Mm-hmm. You know, they set goals for me, and I set goals for myself. You know, and so, I mean, from the smallest, we start gathering information, and we know what, I mean, people come in my office all the time, and I'll ask them, tell me about your diet, and they'll start apologizing about, you know, well, I'm cutting back on my meat, you know. They know that the meat is killing them, all right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they don't have to be 60, 70 years old to do that. You understand what I'm saying, Juwan?
Yes, sir.
And so I'm not going to give them a pass. We have to all make decisions that's in our best interest. And until we stand up and take, see, I believe that we are capable, that God made us to be the head and not the tail, to be above and not beneath. But we have to decide that we're going to take that rightful place.
You know, Doc, I am sitting over here loving this interview because you're sounding the alarm, you know, and if a person's house is on fire, somebody can come, if you're asleep and the house catches on fire, if somebody comes and nudges you gently, you know, hey, you know, you smell that smoke? You know, the house is on fire and they're talking softly and gently nudging you. You know, baby, I think
you think you're dreaming.
The house is on fire. You know, you might burn up. But if
that's
somebody
right.
comes and snatches the pillow out from under your head, grabs you by the leg and starts dragging you, you're going to wake up. And that's what you're doing. You know,
I'm tired of seeing our people die needlessly. It makes me sick. And it makes me even sicker for us to keep blaming other people for our demise.
Mm-hmm.
We have to take responsibility. Yeah, other folk can contribute. But if I got to wait on somebody else to get me where I need to be, you know, somebody who has shown they have no interest in me, then I'm a fool.
Mm.
You know, I'm going to do everything I can to get myself out of this position. All right? And the simple things is, the reality is that we do some simple things that it'll make a tremendous difference. In the case of the vegetarians, two things they needed to do. Eat some flaxseed, man.
Mm-hmm.
Eat some chia seed.
Right.
You know? Get some B12. You know? Get some choline. Get some B6, which is in almost everything. You know, the choline and the B6, you can find it in many, many different foods. And you home free. You know? See, that's what I'm talking about. You know, and then you're free to be productive. Your mind is sharper, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You're not as likely to develop, you know, Alzheimer's and those diseases. You're not going to develop cancer and heart disease. You know, that's just not going to happen to you.
You know, Doctor, if you could talk for a moment, I'll share a story. I remember once I was working at a hospital, and there was a nurse there, and I heard her speaking with somebody else, and she was sharing that her mother was in the hospital and her mother had cancer, and, you know, I guess the woman who she was speaking with had heard about, you know, alternative forms of medicine, and, you know, and asked that she considered. She was like, no, we just going to trust in God. You know, we just pray and we believe Jesus is going to heal her. Well, now I believe Jesus is a healer. I believe in God. I believe in, you know, healing miraculously. I believe in that. But a couple of weeks later, I saw the same nurse, and she was sharing with the woman that her mother had died. You know, so if you could talk for a moment just about God and healing, because a lot of times, I mean, the reality of it is, I mean, if we look at the reality.
No. Let's cut through the chase. God heals.
Yes.
And if we believe in Jesus Christ, and we can read, when he saw the man sitting by the pool of Bethesda, he told him to take up your bed and walk. When the man was blind, he rubbed some mud on his eyes. He said, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. When he was out in the crowd, the lady came and reached out and touched the hem of his garment. Another story where the men tore up the roof. You know, and in all of these stories and more, people had to do something to get healing. You know, it wasn't just you know, heal, and you were healed. You had to show faith. And over and over, the Bible says, thy faith has made thee well. You know, one man said, just speak the word. But he had to come there, and he had to demonstrate his faith. And Christ said, no, I haven't seen this greater faith, not in all Israel, you know. But he did. He said, just speak, and my son will be healed. He demonstrated faith. We demonstrate faith by doing what God told us to do. And if we just read, he said that we should eat fruit, grains, and nuts. And then after sin, he gave us permission to eat meat. And after that, our lifespan started decreasing. One person said that he allowed us to eat meat so we wouldn't live so long and be so evil. You know, but be that as it may, the reality is that in order to show your faith, you got to act, and you got to do more than just pray. You got to get up and work. You know, and then God will be able to heal. But you'll demonstrate. You know, someone says, Paul says, you know, show me your faith. Something about your works, I'll show you my faith through my works. Basically that point, you know. I mean, the works demonstrates the faith, you know.
The works. There's another one that says faith without works is dead.
It's dead.
Mm-hmm. So, everybody, I hope you're enjoying this information as much as I am. If you're listening via telephone, all you have to do is press 1 if you have a question or you'd like to make a comment, and I can bring you on and you can talk to Dr. Watkins. Or if you're listening online, the call-in number is 347-324-5727. That's 347-324-5727. So, Doc, I mean, this information is so powerful. I mean, it's just, it's, for some people hearing it for the first time, it might be unbelievable. It's like, and I'm sure that there are people that feel like, wait a minute. You mean to tell me I can reverse cancer, I can reverse heart disease, I can reverse all of these things by just changing my diet? I mean, because for a lot of people, they put a lot of trust in the American Medical Association and the, you know, the organizations that govern food and the, you know, the food in the United States. And they feel like, well, if that were the case, if it were that simple, then why are all of these harmful things that we consume allowed on the market? Your response?
Money. Money. I mean, it's just simple. It's just simple. You know, people are making money, and they don't care how many people they kill. They kill their mama if it's going to make them some money,
mm-hmm.
you know. And that's just, it's sad, but it's just the truth, you know. And this, you know, I just, you were talking a minute ago, it just hit me. I got a text yesterday, one of my church buddies. He said that his hemoglobin A1C was 11.3 on October the 17th, as 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's dropped to 7.9. My doctor was quite upset yesterday at the numbers. he saw, because he was in disbelief. He said, I needed to go to a specialist because he couldn't figure out what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Then he put LOL, lots of laugh.
Mm-hmm.
He said in his 25 years of medicine, he'd never met anyone like me with readings from one extreme to the other. I told him exactly what I did, and he kept saying I needed to know what. Wait a minute. My thing is messing up on me. I needed to know. I needed to know what's going on, and so do you. I told him I knew what was going on and how I got here and where I was going. You know, but the doctor was mad because this boy is having such tremendous results.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of saying, you know, I want to find out what you're doing so I can do it, because I think the fellow told me that his doctor has diabetes too, you know.
Not surprised.
And so I said, well, he should be asking you what you're doing so he can do it, you know, instead of fussing at you because you're getting better. And I said, you know, and 7.9 is not good. He said, I know. But, you know, I've accomplished this in a little over a month, because October so it's almost 2 months. He's accomplished this, you know, dropped down. And he said, now, in reality, the blood was taken about a month ago. And so, I'm actually much lower than 7.9 now,
mm-hmm.
you know. But that's what it was a month ago after going on the program. And you know, it's to me, it is exciting that people can get well if they learn to trust God's plan. But we want to be so smart. My doctor went to Harvard. My doctor went to Johns Hopkins. I don't care where your doctor went. If your doctor can't reverse diabetes, reverse heart disease, you know, reverse hypertension, and some of these other collagen vascular diseases, lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, et cetera, then why do you need that doctor?
Mm-hmm.
If there's other folk out there who can do it.
Right.
You know?
So, well, let's take one. Doc, let's look at one, because there are people out here, a lot of people out here that are dealing with, let's say someone had a stroke, and
Yes. They,
you know, are recovering. They, you know, kept all of their vital, you know, their vital signs look good. They look good. They can walk again, and they, you know, they have the use of their body again. What could they do to reduce the risk of having another one and to get back?
Well, they need to understand, first of all, why they had the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons, one of the major reasons is stress. Another major reason is their diet, that high fatty diet. And the third reason, of course, is the inflammation, and probably should be the number one reason. And so they need to get rid of the inflammation out of their lives. They need to start getting all that cholesterol and fat out of their lives, and they need to mostly get the stress out of their life. And if they do those things, then they can avoid that second stroke, which is going to come if they don't change.
Mm.
You know, it's going to come. It's going to happen. But if
so
they
when
change,
somebody has a stroke, it opens them up. I mean, they found that, I'm sure they've done studies on this, that, and I'm asking as a question, that people that have one stroke are more likely to have multiple?
Exactly. You know, the same factors that led to the first stroke, unless they're changed, will lead to the second and fatal stroke. Mm. So that's what we need to recognize. And a good number of patients that have strokes, we know them. They've had multiple strokes. They've just been blessed that God has spared them. But, you know, yeah, they've had multiple strokes.
And let me just, since we're on stroke, when someone does have a stroke, does that open them up to other, I guess, diseases? Are they more prone then to, after the first stroke, not just be, you know, a multiple stroke, but other ailments? Are they more likely, say, to, you know, contact something else?
Well, yeah, one of the things that comes to mind right away is pulmonary. Because they have the stroke, they can't breathe as deep as they could before, and so they're much more likely to get a respiratory problem. You know, they're set up for heart disease. They're set up for hypertension, and you know, stroke is the number one cause of disability. So, you know, they have all kind of disabilities, both cognitive, visual, you know, motor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just so much that can be done in a negative way to impact this thing.
So you mentioned respiratory, as in like pneumonia or something on that line?
Yes, pneumonia, bronchitis, emphysema, those kinds of problems, asthma,
mm-hmm. Mm.
All of those can be worsened because of this problem.
You should see these phone lines over here. They're jumping. Everybody, if you are listening and you want to ask a question, you better hurry. Please press 1 if you're on the phone, and I can bring you on board. My special guest is Dr. Ted Watkins. We're talking about the vegan dilemma, and, of course, the conversation is taking us different places. So if you're listening, again, by phone and you have a question, just press 1. If you're listening online, the number is 347-324-5727. My name is Jawanza, and you're listening to Health, Wealth, and Divine. Doc, we've got a couple more minutes. Are you good on time, or does it have to be?
I got a couple more minutes.
Okay. Again, we talked about life and death choices, and just how, I mean, there are just certain things that we can do, like eating flaxseed. I mean, that is amazing. That is simply amazing. Any other thing that a person can do that's just so simple, like drinking more water? I mean, that's something that's very easy for people to do that can just reduce a lot of health risks. Would you agree?
Yeah, well, we need to do that. We need to drink the water, of course. We need to get plenty of rest. We need to add some minerals in our diets, you know, things like iodine. We haven't talked about iodine yet, but we need to talk about iodine. You know, the calcium, magnesium, and I'm not talking about taking tablets. I'm talking about getting some good old dark green leafy juice and juice you some carrots. I mean, juice you some, you can juice carrots. Now, I'm allergic to carrots, but kale and apple is one of my favorites, and it's loaded with calcium and other minerals that are vital for us.
Can you talk about vitamins and minerals briefly again? Because there, you talked about B12, and you know that we know there's B6, and there's other vitamins and minerals. And to a lot of people, they're just, you know, letters and numbers. Okay. Doctor said I need some vitamin B12. You know, and we just where we can get these, because a lot of people are having aversion to taking pills. You know, when it comes to supplements and stuff. And you just stated that it's best if we get this from our food, just the role of vitamins and minerals, because obviously that had to be a consideration in this study that they did with vegetarians versus meat eaters. And, again, there had to be some other contributing factors that would lend towards vegetarians not having a longer lifespan than meat eaters.
Right. So, you know, as we make these these critical choices. They have actually generational impacts, because you know it's amazing. If you go to the house of my children, their kitchens look very similar to ours in terms of the utensils that they have, the Vitamix, the Green Star juicer, everything is basically the same. You know why? Because we don't do what we say. We do what people say. We do what people do, and because we practice this in our house, and you know we talked about the other day, we need to have another smoothie making contest. You know why? Because we do things as fun, and we want food to taste good, so we have contests to see who would make the best smoothie. And
right.
Of course, I tend to win.
Of course.
But you know, but that's what we do. You know, and if we keep doing those kinds of things, our children will learn valuable lessons, change, and have a better life for it.
You know, I just want to encourage everybody. I mean, if you're hearing this information and you you know that what you heard today was the truth, you know that there are some changes that you need to make, you know that you've been wrestling with some stuff, but you heard this show today and you heard Dr. Watkins tell it like it is, and you're like, shoot, I'm wrestling. I'm crazy if I'm sitting up here wrestling with stuff and I done heard the information. But you know that you're ready now. After hearing this show, you know you're ready. You're like, I'm ready. I'm going to do this. Okay? Well, now you need to surround yourself with people that are on the same path as you. You need to, there are vegetarian groups out here. I mean, if you're in D.C., there's the D.C. Vegetarian Society. I mean, there are groups. If you're in Virginia, they have the same thing. Wherever you are, there are groups of people out here of like minds that can share information with you, that would be glad, happy to share information with you, because it can be like walking into a whole new world. If you just, you know, you're making a transition, it's like, what do I eat now?
Yeah.
There are other groups
yeah.
out here, the people there. If you're on Facebook, there are groups, you know what I mean? They've got Facebook vegetarian groups. I mean, people that share recipes or whatever, like Dr. Watkins said, no more excuses. No more excuses. You heard the truth. Now it's time to act on the truth. Doctor, I know that there's somebody out there that heard this and they want to talk to you. So how can people reach you if they, would just like to reach out to you and, maybe get a consultation or something? How can they get in contact with you?
Well, my office number is area code 202-388-0992. That's 202-388-0992. And my cell number is 240-462-4785.
Doctor, I want to thank you so much for your time, for your candid approach to delivering the message. You sounded the alarm today, and I know that there are people out there that heard you and they're listening. They're listening.
All right.
And so
all
for
right,
everybody,
well,
I want
my pleasure.
You know, you can do this, everybody. You can do this. It's not hard. It's really not hard. And the results are going to outweigh whatever effort that you, expend on making the change. And you're worth it. You are worth it. You are worth it.
Amen.
You are worth it. So, Doc, any final words for our listeners today? Oh,
well,
Doc, by the way, somebody's
got
a question for you. You got a sec?
Right.
Can I bring him on? All right.
Sure.
You are on the air, 1111. You're on the air with Dr. Watkins. Thank you so much for tuning in.
And thank you for the show, Juwanda. And thank you, Preacher Watkins, for those scriptures that pointed out why we got to, move to faith, why we got to put feet to it. I needed those scriptures, and I thank you very much. And thank
you're
you for
more
all
than
that both of you do.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you so much, my brother. Thank you. Really appreciate that. If anybody else, if you have a question or a comment, now's the time. Press 1, and I can bring you on board. Otherwise, I'm sorry, Doc, any parting words for our listeners today?
I just want to tell people that they need to look in the mirror, that they are special. They were made by God for a special reason. And if we're willing to change, then it can make a difference. The great dilemma was when I looked at the information, I didn't know all the facts. But I realized that just sitting on the information that I had was not sufficient, that I had to expand myself. And once I expanded myself, I then put myself back in a position where, you know, I'm just not going to have a heart attack if I follow the rules. I won't get cancer if I follow the rules. And God is a good God, and he'll protect us if we're willing to do our part.
Everybody, you've been listening to the words of wisdom today, okay? Dr. Watkins is a medical doctor. You know, sometimes people, you know, when they hear about vegetarian or veganism, they hear it from people that, you know, are on the path, but, you know, they might not, you know, hear it from a doctor, because that's sometimes what makes it challenging for people to change, is because the information they're getting from the people that are sharing the vegan or vegetarian way of life with them might go against what their doctor is saying. You know, it's like, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but my doctor says this, you know, and they trust the doctor. Well, you heard from a doctor today, okay, a medical doctor, Dr. Ted Watkins, MD, okay? So I want you to know that you're not talking to somebody that just, you know, read a book on veganism and is now out practicing it. Dr. Watkins knows the allopathic side, and Dr. Watkins knows the holistic side. And thank God he's on our side. He's on the holistic side. And so, again, for everybody, give Dr. Watkins a call. And, again, get with some groups that can help and keep you motivated on this path, because it's exciting. It's not a drudgery. You know, being a vegetarian is an exciting life. I mean, vegan is life. I mean, it's exciting. I mean, you got 1,000 new recipes, I mean, that you can try and, you know, work with to help and enhance your life and that of your children. And so I want to thank everybody for tuning in. And if you're tuning in for the first time, we have an archives, and we've had Dr. Watkins on several times. We've talked about how to reverse heart disease. I mean, we've talked about a lot of different things. So I want you to go back into the archives and just scroll down, and then you can see the other shows with Dr. Watkins. We've had Dr. Ruby Lathan on. She's cured herself of thyroid cancer. So, you know, Brother Coy Dunstan, who was at the workshop on Saturday, cured himself, I'm sorry, not himself, but his mother, of cancer in both breasts, the liver, and her colon. And she was the first person that he worked with, okay? So, I mean, just scroll down. I guarantee you, you're going to see shows on top of shows that are going to interest you. And, again, the name of the show is Health, Wealth, and Divine. So one of the shows is going to fall under one of those categories. Either we're going to be talking about health, we're going to be talking about wealth, or we're going to be talking about your divinity. Speaking of your divinity, okay, coming up on Friday in Richmond, this is not a show, this is a workshop. It's going to be in Richmond, Virginia. Heksham Su Haru Shekameam Neter is going to be doing a workshop on the winter solstice. That's going to be Friday, December the 11th, from 7 to 9 p.m. There's going to be a $6 donation for that, and the location is going to be announced. So for more information, please call 804-687-6505. Again, that's 804-687-6505. Again, Heksham Su Haru Shekameam Neter is going to be here in Richmond on Friday, December the 11th, and the time is from 7 to 9. Please call 804-687-6505. Again, my name is Jawanza. His name is Dr. Ted Watkins, MD. Fabulous show, Doc. I really appreciate your time. To all of the callers, thank you, thank you, thank you. If you like this,
and
again, Dr. Watkins, on every second Tuesday of the month, and we'll be discussing another aspect of holistic health. So, Doc, again, I appreciate you, my brother. Thank you so much for your time.
You're more than welcome. God bless.
God bless. Everybody, again, that is Dr. Ted Watkins. Make sure you give him a call. Again, you can go back and listen to this show over and over again. It's powerful information that you can use. And remember, you can do this. To all of those who are already vegetarians and vegans, be mindful of the fact, though, that you were once a meat eater. Chances are, unless you grew up in the Seventh-day Adventist household or other households that, you know, didn't eat meat, you know, you were a meat eater. And you understand the transition that needs to take place. So it is a transition. So to those who are making the transition, don't beat yourself up. You know, just get with other people who can share information with you that you can use. And remember, you are worth the effort. Like Dr. Watkins said, you might have gotten away so far, okay? But ultimately, life has a way of catching up with us. So you want to be able to do what you were put here to do. You have a purpose for being here, and it's not going back and forth to the doctor. It's not, you know, that's just not it. And that will actually keep you from doing what you were put here to do. There are people who have a purpose. Everybody has a purpose. But how can you fulfill it if your days are spent going back and forth to the doctor? Okay? So now, today, you heard an answer that you've been praying for. Now, what are you going to do? Go back, listen to the show again. Go back to the archives. We've got shows with people who have cured themselves of cancer in both breast, the liver, and the colon. We've got people who've cured themselves of thyroid cancer, okay, and everything in between. Be encouraged. You can do this. Thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Juwanza. You're listening to Health, Wealth, and Divine. Until the next time, hey, thank you.